From 2 Timothy, beginning with verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, I thank God whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, we thank you for these words. We pray that you would help us to grow in them. And as we look at a host of things related to the day, thank you now, we pray in your name. Amen. Please do be seated. All right. We've been through the Easter cycle, as it were, as much as we're going to. And so we've talked about how they found Jesus at the empty tomb. Don't look for him among the dead. He is alive. He appeared to them on the road to Emmaus. He appeared to Thomas and proved even to Thomas, unbelieving Thomas, right? My Lord and my God. We talked about the return to Galilee and the restoration of Peter. Next week, we're talking about Ascension Sunday. Today, we're talking about finish lines and graduation. Why? Because it's an appropriate thing to look at today. And so in the life of the congregation, we're just taking a step out series-wise in order to do this. And some people may end up wondering, well, wait a minute, this is Mother's Day Sunday, and we're talking about graduates and Mother's Day, and you're talking about finish lines, and isn't that kind of ominous? Mothers and finish lines, really? We're going to go there? Well, okay, before you end up thinking wrong of me, just track with me on this, okay? We're not going down that road. Pay attention, and this should be fine, really. We're not going to be too terribly strange. Well, no more than usual. History has a lot of great people who were made greater by their mothers. This simply is true. For example, Thomas Edison's mother, Nancy Matthews Elliott Edison, was a devout Presbyterian and was educated. And Thomas, her son, was a poor student. And when I say poor student, I mean that he would have qualified as someone with a severe learning disability, to where more or less it was said to her, or it was communicated to her, he's not going anywhere in school. We're taking him out. He's got no future in this schooling sort of a thing. And so she said, all right, I will educate him at home. And she did. And Thomas Edison had some issues, if you look at his history. But one thing that you can say about Thomas Edison is he did some remarkable stuff, and we enjoy an awful lot of a changed world that we live in. And that's in part because his mom was willing to take time to educate him at home. In fact, that light bulb up there, it's not just that the light bulb itself was something he came up with. There are some others who are experimenting with it as well. But if you've noticed, there are many different size bases to light bulbs. There is the candelabra base, if you've got the really small ones. There's the appliance base, which is slightly larger. You never quite know. It's the one in the microwave that it doesn't fit the candelabra. It doesn't fit the standard. What is this appliance base, by the way, in case you're wondering? There's the mogul base, which is like huge. And then there is the normal light bulb base. We're all used to thinking of, by the way, that's called the Edison base. And with good reason, okay, because that's the size. So Edison did an awful lot, and he's a great man in history, made great by his mom, right? On the other hand, there's Elvis Presley. Was he great? Well, that's a matter for open debate, although he did some remarkable things. He was actually known to be remarkably kind and generous, truth be known. Somewhat impulsively and somewhat eccentrically, His mom, Gladys, was brought up poor, daughter of a cotton farmer, and was back working in the cotton fields in his early childhood days. She raised him to be polite, to know and respect the Bible's teachings. She did. She shaped the character that made him generous. And in fact, his faith was enough a part of who he was. And yes, he had problems with wealth and power. By the way, give any of you here wealth and power, you're going to struggle with that. Some of you better than others. I'm not saying, don't curse me with that. I'm saying, hey, struggle's real. All right. But he was known for trying to get other artists, when he was on tour, to get together and do a gospel hymn fest. Oh, okay, that's a remarkable sort of a thing if you think about that. We could do with more musicians wanting to do that who are famous like that, all right? Then there is, of course, Augustine and Monica. Augustine was the daughter of Monica and a pagan man, Patricius. We get the name Patrick from it. Romanized. Not necessarily from him, though. She prayed for and witnessed to her son for years. When Augustine was 17, his dad died, and he had gone off to study rhetoric, and he joined a cult. And that broke her heart. That was a real hard thing. But she prayed, she was counseled to try and stay with him and not break things off with him. So she not only prayed for him for 17 years, when he moved to a town, she followed him. Kept witnessing to him. It's the mominator, you just can't stop her from doing that. Prayed for him for 17 years, eventually he confesses Christianity. And this is in part largely due to that major witnessing that continued to happen, the Spirit of God working on him and working on him and working on him. Yeah, if you've ever heard of Santa Monica, okay, that's Monica. And she's remembered as a saintly woman. And she was there and she continued to witness heavily towards her son. And eventually he became, of course, St. Augustine or Augustine. Doesn't really matter how you want to go with that. But he was a very, very hugely influential person in Christian theological thinking. Role of mothers, pretty profound. Am I missing anyone else? What's left out of the picture? All right, let me put it a different way. Do you know any great people? I'm looking at a bunch of great people. Really, truly. The difference between someone being a great person in history and you all is probably mostly a big question of who's got a better publicist. Not entirely true. There are remarkable things that impact an awful lot of people's lives, but it's largely true. So, am I missing anyone who's a great person who had their mother help with their character? Maybe? Just a bit? Anyone want to mention their mom and how, or this other mom or some other mom that you're aware of that helped out with someone else's character you saw? It was a great testimony. My mom's crossed the finish line. I rejoice in the living history and the living heritage that I was given of faith. How about you? Yeah. Thanks be to God.
She never went to church because she was a nurse. She never got out of the office. But we went to church.
She valued the faith, though.
Yes, she did.
That's the main thing. Yeah. Yeah. Others? It's a quiet day. Don't make us talk. It's a quiet day. All right, fine. Yeah, in great, but that's okay. No. I'm going to call your moms, every one of you, and say, they wouldn't talk about you at church. No, that's really, we're not here to put you entirely on the spot. That's fine. We have shared in the past some wonderful things about people's lives, right? I can remember well and have been inspired by what John has said about his mom and what Jim and Krista at different times have said about their moms. And several of the rest of you all as well. Mothers are a gift from God. Here's one more great example. Found in 2 Timothy, right? I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Was Timothy kind of important in Paul's ministry? Yeah. Was Paul's ministry kind of important in the early days of Christianity? Yes. Okay. But where do you think Timothy's faith came from? Well, God. Okay, thank you. But God drops faith on no one from the clouds without someone else being involved in getting it to them. So we've got this example here. And we read about them in Acts 16:1-3. We get a little bit more. Paul comes to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewess and a believer. She was a Jew for Jesus, sort of. Not the exact modern day concept of the term, but she was brought up in the Jewish faith. Jesus has come, fulfills that. She has received that. His father was a Greek. She married a heathen, right? Timothy was a disciple, and he caught faith, it seems to be, from his mom. And the brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him, so Paul wanted to take him along on his missionary journey. He's a young man, knows God, has a heart for God. What kind of heart for God? Well, Paul's going to go and do evangelism to a bunch of Jews throughout much of the Jewish world. Timothy is going to be going with him to reach out during this time. Now, Paul is going to be going around proclaiming to the Jews that, by the way, circumcision is not necessary to be right with God. But in order to be able to even get a hearing, in order to get in there and do that, since they're not letting the uncircumcised in to talk with them, in order for Timothy to be willing to go on this missionary journey, he would have been told on the one hand, by the way, this is not necessary in order to be right with God, but it's probably going to be necessary to open the doors for us to get in to tell the Jews about Jesus. And Timothy is willing to do this. Because he's got that kind of a heart for God and for service. And again, where has he caught his faith from? He's caught his faith from his mom. We read elsewhere in 2 Timothy, as for you, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. Who were those? Well, from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. Who puts the Scriptures in your hands? Most of the time, not always, I understand that, but most of the time, many of the time, certainly in his case, his mom and his grandma put the Scriptures in his hands. And it made a huge impact. It was an important impact. And so, of course, we are celebrating the importance of a very, very important person, which is Eunice. What? Yeah, name shows up once in the Bible. That's fine. Why? Because she was a mom. Because she raised her kid to love God. And that's huge. And you never know what that will lead to, except that the number one thing that you get is one more person knowing and loving God. So when this is done faithfully, it's a win. And I want to lift up Eunice before we talk about Timothy or anything like that, because we often miss the everyday people who are doing and living everyday faith and teaching everyday faith. But that's how everyday life of faith and everyday Christianity happens. So Eunice was a mom, and Eunice was huge because she was a mom and she helped her kid catch faith. And maybe your mom helped you catch faith, or maybe someone else was like a mom to you and helped you catch faith, or helped you stay in the faith or stay strong in the faith. Maybe you've had an opportunity to love like a mom and help shepherd squirrely people into the faith. Mother's Day, a day for rejoicing. Moms aren't perfect. Unfortunately, all too often, some people don't even have a mom who put the scriptures in their hands. That's also unfortunate. But motherhood is a gift from God. And as much as it works wonderfully. And we rejoice. And so we're going to pray now. We're going to give thanks to God. And we're going to ask for strength for those who are mothers or who are charged with loving like mothers. So let's do that now. Lord Jesus, we thank you for those who are mothers, who have mothered us, whether they are our own mothers or women who have cared enough to be caregivers and compassionate in that way. Lord, forgive us for how much motherhood has been devalued in our society. Help us to instead stand for it as a gift, because it is a gift. Lord, we pray for those who are mothers, whether they are mothers of young children or older children. Lord, grant them the grace and the wisdom and the fortitude to continue in this unending task. Strengthen them to this cause. Lord, for those who are loving as a mother, grant them the same gift and the same blessing. For those who will one day step into that office, we pray you continue to shape them in their faith and strengthen them for that. Thank you on this day. On this Mother's Day, help us to continue to give you thanks and praise and to be faithful in prayer to you for them. We pray this in your name. Amen. Well and good. What does this have to do with finish lines then and graduation? Because is this just sort of stuck in there? Well, it's Mother's Day. Truth be known, we have to do it. It's on the agenda anyhow. But I promise you, actually, mothers will figure into it before the end anyway. So stay with me. Finish lines. Why talk about finish lines? It's not a day for athleticism. It's a day about graduation. You don't think the graduation feels like a finish line? It can feel like a finish line, right? We often view finish lines a few different ways. One of the most common ways, if you look up an image search, and the image search is a great way to just sort of get a popular poll as to what images seem to be most common when we think about finish lines or other things like that. We often think of finish lines as not just what you're running towards, but it's that goal, it's got the tape, and there are, in this case, three runners, which means there are two losers and one winner. And you're hoping that you yourself can be the one winner, and you are running flat out. You are hoping, above all, to break the tape, win the race, get the fame, get the adulation, get the celebrity endorsement contracts, be in the newspaper, be given that big gold medal, and oh, well, let's not be ridiculous, sir. None of you are competitors like that. That's true. But this is how we think about finish lines, yes? Absolutely. And it's appropriate to think about finish lines and faith in this sense. The Apostle Paul ends up telling us, do you not know in a race all the runners run, only one gets the prize? Yeah, I kind of knew that. That's what a race is. Oh, modern races aren't like that because everyone gets a participation award. Yeah, it's not a race. Paul tells you that's not a race, right? There's one prize. And he says, run in such a way as to get the prize. He's talking about the Christian life here, okay? It's not that you're earning it, okay? But run like a winner, not like someone who's not going to win. Focus. Right? Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it. Well, they do it to get a crown that doesn't last. What do you mean crowns don't last? Gold lasts? Silver lasts? Well, actually, back then it wasn't gold and it wasn't silver. In fact, one of the most common crown that you would get, especially if you were in a competition, was a leaf crown, frequently made with laurels. In fact, that's your ultimate crown, was the laurel crown. That's the classic crown from the place where they were doing this. The games were in honor of Apollos, and then slowly the crown sort of a thing also then got moved into the Olympics as well. But you were competing to be able to wear the crown. And laurels then becomes actually associated with the idea of being specifically crowned with honor. For example, anyone ever hear of a laureate poet or poet laureate? Ever wonder where the laureate came from? Yeah, that's laurels. Okay, that's connected to that same sense of honored, okay? Crowned poet, if you will. Similarly, if we do a service in honor of a graduation, any graduation, what's the name of the service? It's a baccalaureate. Ah, yes. It's a service about someone being honored. And it's good, and we should honor those who have gotten this crown. Eric, wherever you are, I think you left. Knew I was going to mention him. Snuck out. Honor Eric. We give thanks to God for his accomplishment. Right? And if you know students, or if you are a student, run towards that. Keep going. Run towards that honoring. That's a good perspective. As Christians, all of a sudden this takes on a very different understanding. Once we start talking about, we are not running for a crown that doesn't last. Why? Well, by the way, those are bay leaves, because a laurel's a type of bay tree. Now, if I give you a crown made out of bay leaves and they're green, that's fine. You can take it off. You can put it on. You can sort of move it around. You can enjoy it. Anyone feel a bay leaf once it's dried out? You're going to be putting that thing on and taking it off much of that? No, it's going to crumble away. You're going to be picking bits of that out of your hair. The only thing a laurel crown like that is good for in about 2 weeks' time, one, you could set it somewhere and watch it slowly break down, and it will. Number two, you could put it in the soup. That's it. Actually, third, those laurels you can actually grind up for medicinal use in the ancient world, okay? But it's a crown that doesn't last. This is why you can't rest on your laurels, because they're all dried out and crusty. We, on the other hand, are running towards a crown that will last forever. Because there is an honor that we are running towards. What is Paul talking about? It's the image of going and receiving the crown of life. What is that? Eternal life. Well, no, wait a minute. Do we have to earn that? No, we don't have to earn that. But we should run like maybe we were trying. Maybe it's worthwhile. This gets confused and a little bit muddled. We'll take some of the confusion and muddling out of it. But this effectively leads to the idea that there's two views of a finish line. Yeah, that's true. On the one hand, you run as if you can win, right? That's finish line. But on the other hand, especially when you're dealing with marathons like the Boston Marathon, right? Let me tell you, that's a finish line. And the big deal there is you're just running to finish. And I will tell you right now, if you run a marathon and you finish a marathon, I don't care what place you come in, you're either crazy. No, let's not get away from that. or you've accomplished something. There's an honor in there. We run to finish if we can't sprint. The Christian life, in fact, life, unless your life is unfortunately very short, it's not a sprint. And on the one hand, graduation, we celebrate the fact that he's done going through a course of preparation. Thanks be to God. If you all have graduated, you have finished a course of preparation. But really, that's not a finish line. How do we know this? Because graduation opens up more doors. It doesn't finish out your opportunities, it expands them. So you can't entirely, now on some level, as you finish the preparation, but it doesn't really fair to say that this is where the line ends. This is not the end of the road here. Similarly, you get work with graduation, because hopefully you get an opportunity to work with graduation, because otherwise you spend a lot of money as an investment in your mind, I hope. But work advancement is also not a finish line. Why? Because there's always more stuff you could do, or you could just shift around another. It again also opens up more other things for you to be looking at and thinking about. Having a home and family on a different level, right, of life, a different layer of life, that also is not a finish line. In fact, that will finish you, but you will not finish it. And there are times when, like Aurora's house, some of the rest of you all, you've got a house. If you've got a house, you've lived it. I swear this house is trying to finish me off, right? It's in process of doing precisely that. No, having a home and a family is not a finish line. When is it that you stop worrying about your kids? When you die. That's it. You might worry about them different, or you just might not tell them that you're worrying about it, but it's true, man. Kind of grateful for the white hairs. They just let me worry without you seeing, right? It's the way it is, right? Okay? So, yeah. And even retirement is not a finish line. In fact, you now have more options for what you can do with your life and time if you retire frequently than, you know, if you were a wage slave prior to that, right? So the next thing we're left with is, okay, on the one hand, you've completed some things, but if we're talking about life, is there a finish line? For the Apostle Paul, the ultimate finish line, and I think probably if we're really looking and want to really talk about finish lines, finish line is when you run out of race to run. That's it. This life is like a race. We're called to run it like we intend to win. Are we running it in order to win it? No. Because our race was already won for us in a very different sort of way. How was that race won? We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us, who did the conquering for us. This is the picture here. This is a great picture for how our race for that crown of life was won. Pictures of Dick Hoyt. His son Richard was born more or less paralyzed, and he's not able to do a whole lot. In fact, the doctors told him at the time, in the early 60s, put him in an institution. You are never going to be able to take care of this kid. And he said, no, we are going to take him home. We're going to raise him as normally as we can. And Richard, at the age of 15, was able to talk, learned to do an awful lot more, did better than anyone was really expecting. Watching a charity race on TV, he said, Dad, can we run in a charity race sometime? And the man will describe himself, Dick will describe himself as not having been a runner by temperament or habit. But all right, get the kid in the wheelchair. I'll push you in a charity race. Pushes in a charity race. Comes home, probably dead tired. The boy tells him, you know, when we were out there, it felt like my disability disappeared. Man went into training. They did the Boston Marathon. 32 times. Along with a total of 1,000 other races. Now you tell me, who's winning that race? But who's making that winning that race happen? God won the race for you. There is a crown of life for you at the end of the race. That's yours by love. We are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. It's absolutely true. On a graduation day, an odd sort of reversal, put it this way, Jesus took all your tests. Here's the diploma. It's waiting for you. Graduation's at the end. Now go learn. No fear of failure. All you got to do is make it through and stay in it till graduation. All you got to do is make it through, go the course to the end of the race. There's a call to finish the race, to persist in the race. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. I beat my body and make it my slave. He's talking about physical training, okay? He's not like physical mutilation. So that after I, the Apostle Paul says, have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Paul takes staying in the faith very seriously. It doesn't matter how many good things you might do at some point. You can't rest on your laurels. But you're not earning this either. You just have to stay in the race. You just have to persist in faith. It's about finishing out. Because this is the race that will not throw you out, but you can walk away from it. Do not walk away from it. Live this life of faith. Don't care what you do and how you're doing it to make your living. Live the life of faith. Do not give up. The Apostle Paul, at the end of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, you get a lot of mileage out of, right? He could see that he was running out of race to run. He ends up giving a trustworthy saying to Timothy, saying prior to this, by the way, I can tell that they're going to kill me soon. It takes about three verses to poetically talk about how I'm going to depart, but yet they're going to kill me soon. Timothy, on the other hand, is going to be around for a while. So he leaves Timothy with these words. Here's a trustworthy saying: if we died with him, we will also live with him, right? That's true. By faith I have died with Christ, I will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we come in first, no. Second, no. Dead last, with help, yeah, fine. We will reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. That's true. You can opt out. Please don't. And he will run after you trying to get you to opt back in. If we are faithless, if we stumble, if we fall, if we mess up, break faith over and over again, he will remain faithful because he cannot deny who he is. And he's in the business of loving you and saving you. He loves you that way. Stay in the race that was won for you, thanking God who have helped you to be able to finish it. And there are people who have been a great cloud of witnesses to you, and they have shown you what faith looks like. And many of them may have been close family members, and one of them may have been your mom. You may have caught faith from her. And you may have been given either the discipline or the understanding or the gentleness or the willingness to acknowledge that you're wrong or the need to realize that you have to acknowledge that you're wrong or the host of other things that have just given you the ability to finish. Give thanks to God for that. The most any of us really can do is muddle through, and we will trip and we will fall and be picked up, and God will push us along in this. It is about finishing. Stay in the race that was won for you, thanking God for those who helped you finish, especially on this day, for your mom. To any degree that she may have been a blessing to give you a help in this life, especially for faith, but any help at all, give thanks to God for her. If there is someone else who has been like a mom to you, who has loved you that way, give thanks to God for her. Because God has a way of kind of sending in substitutes when necessary. So congratulations to our grads. God bless you. Thank you. Give thanks for our moms and to all of us. Keep in the race. Race to finish. It's already won. Pray for your mom. Give thanks if she's already gone on to glory. Pray for her if she hasn't. Pray for our students and graduates. Pray for Eric in particular, that they press into newer and greater things. How have you been running the race of your life? Jesus has won it, but are you running it now like you're trying to win it? Because that's what we're called to. Are you even running to finish? What's your trajectory like with how you're taking your faith right now? Because we need to be in this thing to make it through this thing. The Spirit will help us, but spend time in the Word and a bunch of other stuff. Pray that God strengthen you and guide you with how else you might train in this marathon to your own finish line. And by the grace of God, may it still be quite a long ways down the road, because there's some great people I'm looking at in history. But I'd rather you not become history. Thank you for encouraging me as well. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the gift of mothers and people who have loved us like mothers. And thank you that you have won the race for us. By faith in you, now we are simply called for the joy to live and to walk and to do in this life of faith. Lord, for those who have fallen down or who are not running well, I pray that you would pick us up. I pray that you would revitalize us, energize us, and get us back going forward in that race. Thank you that you do that. Thank you that you are faithfully there helping us along. Show us how to run faithfully that race. And bless those who have helped us and encouraged us and gone before us. Thank you now and always. We pray in your name. Amen.